This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that!
Misunderstood.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Now, just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Hello, baseball fans, and with Pitchers and Catchers Report, I welcome you to the 2017 MLB baseball season. Let me also welcome in my cohort in crime, the newest member of our show, and a guy I can count on to be here each and every week, Tony Huber. Tony, what's going on?
Hey, I am excited. I think because the weather right now is cooperating, it already feels like mid-March, so like I'm ready for an actual game.
I thought you were going to be more excited about how I introduced you as a guy I can always count on to be here. And I say
that's a given.
It's in love. I say it because our man Fish is working a real job today. And until we get all those steel workers back to work, which I hope is coming soon, it's hard for him to trade out of his day shift on his turn. So that should mean hopefully he'll be here next week. But we are so fortunate to have in as his replacement, as he's done so many times in the past, the knowledgeable, the great, the one, the only, Steve-O. What's going on?
What up, what up, what up? I'm with Tony, man. It's warm out there. It's a little chilly this morning, a little brisk, but I'm ready to throw a strap on the leather and get out there and maybe get the arm loose.
As a fan, I got to ask both you guys. I mean, for me, it's like a kid in a candy store. I can see it in both your eyes, too, but the bottom line is we've been talking about this. February 1st always signals it for me, but we've got pitchers and catchers throwing. We've got guys in Florida and Arizona. To me, it's baseball season.
Well, nothing says baseball season like a general manager on day one of spring training holding a news conference to announce a pitcher will be having Tommy John surgery. I think that sort of like whoever that might be out of the 30 GMs, you know, that kind of officially marks the opening of the season.
Yeah, that's a bad deal.
Who goes down first?
Steve-O and I do a Cardinal show, so obviously we had to address the Alex Reyes thing. And I'm of the opinion now that with the way baseball is, with the high-end guys for sure. I mean, we're talking about a guy that can throw the ball 100 miles an hour with a nasty curveball, especially for those guys and anybody with any type of upside, any type of history that he can get outs at the big league level. It's really, to me, just seems more like a it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And
yeah.
Whereas we freak out. And again, I know John Mozeliak and the St. Louis Cardinals are not happy or aren't just casually like whatever about Alex Reyes. But I do sense more and more we knew this was a realistic possibility. It's something that you can't plan for the exact date. But these are why we do the things we do, because we always have to be prepared for this. That's why depth is so important.
It's almost like tires on your car.
Yes.
You can rotate them and rotate them and rotate them. Eventually, you got to get new ones. And with modern medicine, that's where we're at, man. It's like getting a fresh new set of tires most of the time.
I'd feel better about that if you have the surgery, you take your year off, you rehab, you do all this, you come back, and boom, you're ready to go. That's not necessarily always the case. Now, the numbers are obviously better than they used to be, like with anything with modern medicine. A former Cardinal pitcher, again, just had a revolutionary-type surgery on his, Seth Maina, so that's documented now, and he was able to come back a little sooner. We'll see where all this goes. I don't know where we are 20 years from now. Maybe they just take your arm off, put a new one on, you know, $6 million man style. But the reality of it is, to me, it just seems like now, to your point, it's not a question of if, but more when.
Yeah, they just learn how to game plan for it and manage it better. That's what they do.
Well, what I want to talk about today, interestingly enough, because you really can only talk so much about watching a bunch of pitchers and catchers play catch, is for what seems to be almost everybody I know, and what has become really a billion-dollar business, is if you're at all involved in the fantasy, the rotisserie world of baseball, you are probably having a draft sometime either a week ago, maybe a week or two from now, maybe a couple weeks from now. You're setting rosters, you're cutting guys, you're making trades, you're putting values on guys. The whole world right now is looking at the baseball community and trying to decide just how much is Mookie Betts worth? Just how much is Carlos Correa worth? Just how much is Younghoe Kang worth? These are the guys that people want to know, what are they worth? And everybody's about to make some big decisions. All three of us included in this room.
Well, yeah, we're all in a fantasy league together, and it's a great league. Yes. I'm one of the newer members, only been in it a year.
Yeah, you're about to get schooled.
Yeah, and it's a different league just because it's set up like you're a true owner of a club, general manager.
Oh, no, you own a franchise.
You own a franchise.
Yes, it's your franchise.
You know, you have salary and everything. But I want to take that off the table because I think that is far and few between for the people out there fantasy world. I want to know, you got the number one pick.
Yes.
If you're in a traditional league, who is that player this year that you're going with?
Tony, you got the number one pick in a traditional fantasy league.
My same number one pick from 5-6 years ago.
Uh-oh. And that is?
Mike Trout.
Ah, see? Okay. It's the easy route. Okay.
Well, what do you mean easy route?
Well, you could have went. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When I did it 6 years ago, everyone looked at me like I had two heads.
Oh, now.
And if one other guy, Steve, hadn't bid on this player, I would have had the best player in the game for 5 years on my team for a total of
$2. $2, $2, $2.
Oh, my gosh. Was it Zach Cozart?
No.
You saw the trade yesterday, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
So that's a little inside joke. Sorry, guys.
Well, and oddly enough.
But that's who you start. You start with Mickey Mantle. I always wondered what Mickey Mantle looked like. Now I know.
No, it's a great one. So is Harper your next one off the board then?
Nope.
You're going pitching?
Not necessarily.
Hang on.
Wait, let's not get too far. Who's your number one pick?
I'm a Trout guy.
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, come on. And a lot of it's going to be determined on, you know, how many categories you got. I think we sit there with, 7 in one and 6 in the other.
Yeah.
So offense usually plays a little bit more of
a little heavy.
So, yeah, I'm a Trout guy when it comes around to that. But I'm not too far off from Harper next, too. I think Trout's your – I don't know if his numbers – I think they ended up pretty good last year. I think his stolen bases are down a little bit.
Yeah, because he doesn't get to run.
I'm going
to
stop you guys because this is what's great about fantasy baseball. The listeners don't know this. Steve, you don't know this because you haven't been in it long enough. You're asking him about a guy that is probably one of the most talented players in the game. At any given year could go up and put up such monstrous numbers, he can win an MVP, and he had him last year. So he lived through what most of us as fantasy participants live through, and that is having a guy that you feel that you spent money on can hit 40 home runs, can hit 300, can steal 40 bases, can drive in 100 runs, and he lived with him every day while he didn't do it. That's what makes this great. That's what makes this so much fun. Now, that doesn't sound like fun to a lot of people because I can guarantee you, when I played fantasy football and I had Steven Jackson from the Rams and he was bigger than most linebackers, when they'd give him the ball on the 1 yard line and he couldn't get in the damn end zone, I used to throw stuff at the television set. So that's why, unbeknownst to you also, I traded the only Cardinal player I had to that guy sitting across from me because I can't even enjoy watching a Cardinal game anymore because I don't want him on my team, whether I love him or not.
He's crazy. He's crazy.
Oh, I'm crazy.
Well,
dispassionate.
Hey, funny guy. Hey, funny guy.
Funny thing is that, you know, working for the Rams as long as I did, I watched Steven Jackson. I have some good stories about him. He's a monster of a guy.
How does that guy not get in from the one? I don't understand it.
The best thing about him was that he was probably the best running back in football between the 20s. But every time he got down in the red zone, I always saw him tap his helmet and come out. And I was like, what the hell are you doing? You're tired on the 20-yard line, the 12-yard, and then the hip-hop in the backfield and get stuck on the one.
I can't even.
Terrible.
You're going to send me into a tizzy here.
I know.
No, but, hey, listen, that's what makes fantasy sports great. It's like anything else. There's great players that put up consistent numbers in most leagues. Depending on how you do it, they're going to cost you more money. It's kind of one in the trenches sometimes. Tony, I've been in the league now. This is my second year. Well, when I came to work here the first year, I kind of paid attention to it just to learn a little bit. Tony, you've had guys for a couple years that would be viewed as guys that really had some nice seasons that you weren't sure were going to have nice seasons beforehand. Sonny Gray when he was young. I mean, everybody knew he was a touted prospect, but he basically propelled you in a season by going out and just doing the same thing every. He had some other guys like that.
Is it? At Garrett Cole.
Yeah, Garrett Cole Gray. They were young, yes. But the reality of it is how much – if you really want to be good at this, Tony – how much research do you really need to do?
Tons.
Yeah.
No. In our league, I think you need to do tons of research.
No. In any league, if you really want to be good. Unless you're playing with a complete bunch of dolts who just are jock sniff big name hunters. And you can stack your league with those guys and they will donate way too much of their available funds to their favorite guy, and they'll live and die with him.
That's a mistake I made last year. I had too many of my favorite players.
All right, don't. You have to be cool. You have to be dispassionate. You have to really think like a GM. Now, there's a lot about fantasy baseball that I like, a lot that I really dislike. Okay? I dislike the format that we use of going head to head week to week because
You want total numbers.
I want total numbers. I want rank my category at the end of the year. Tell me what place, and I want a golf score type of deal to establish the rankings.
Agreed.
The fact that and I are going to play each other twice during the season, and I may catch you on a bad week.
Love that.
Yeah, I don't.
See, I love that.
But it's meaningless.
It's not meaningless. Yes, it is. Baseball.
No.
The best team doesn't always win. I think that's what makes it great.
Yeah, but baseball, they play 162 games. In a fantasy league that plays head-to-head, you play 20.
Well,
so it becomes much more like the NFL, which is situated perfectly for that fantasy league going head-to-head on a weekly basis. Baseball is not. Baseball is about the long haul. Baseball is about riding with a guy because you know at the end the numbers will be there. And the way when for leagues who play head to head on a weekly basis, you get these small sample sizes and it doesn't really work. Here's what I love about it. Here's what it's made me do, Steve. It's made me, in terms of research, look for young talent that's off the radar. And I'll toot my own horn. Pretty damn good at it.
You always do find some guys for sure that are under.
There's a couple people in our league who find undervalued, and it's not that they become 20 game winners or that they hit 30 home runs, but they get you much better above average stats on a cost per dollar basis than the established player. I mean, my team was founded with Jason Kipnis, cost me $2. Jason Kipnis, 5 years, $2 a year.
In a league where there's guys that are 100 a year.
Where Robinson Cano cost 110.
Right.
110. So I pay very little to play in our league. Some people pay quite a lot. My salary cap is mid-range nowadays. It was low when we started. So I got Garrett Cole. I got Trevor Bauer, It's made me pay attention to a couple things. One, it's made me pay attention to college baseball.
Absolutely.
Which I have found, Steve, that I love.
It's a lot better than the pros, by the way.
It's a great game at the college level for a whole bunch of different reasons, but it's made me pay attention to it. And now I've been to the College World Series, and I'd like to make that sort of an annual thing.
Let's do it.
But I love watching college baseball, and specifically because the SEC and the Pac-12 networks carry the game. I'm scouting. There's no question. I'm scouting. That's what I'm doing when I'm watching. I'm looking for, who can I use in – because we're so nuts in our league. We have a minor league draft.
Yes.
You draft players that have never played a day in the major leagues.
I have a guy on my team that I drafted last year that is still in college.
He's not even
been drafted.
You got your son on your team.
No, I don't.
And he's in ninth grade.
I have Tanner Houck, who is now, by all accounts, they're saying is going to be a top pick in this year's draft.
Who, by the way – I have seen pitch at Missouri.
Which, by the way, is a son of my fraternity brother.
Because when I heard that Tanner was pitching on a day that we happened to be up there for a soccer tournament, I said, sorry, folks, I got to get over the ball yard.
Sorry, folks, park's closed.
Got to get over the ball yard. I got to see this. And it was great. It was wonderful.
Well, and where I was going, and I think—
all because of fantasy baseball, well, Jimbo.
And here's what I like about the different leagues. I think what Steve was going at earlier— you don't have to do a lot of research. If you do the other thing where every when you have a league where every player you pick is going to be a good player,
yes.
See, I don't want to do that. I like where
we're 16 teams
16 deep. I like it.
Now, remember, most, you know, the biggest pot of all the fantasy still belongs to football. Usually your football has about 12 teams in the league. They got 32 teams overall. And if, you know, naturally the scoring's a little bit different, just how they do it, because you got touchdowns and bonuses and everything. But in football, and it's the same thing in baseball, you can go on to any website and it's going to rank your player. So even a guy who doesn't know shit about shit can set an auto draft and still be field a competitive team.
Here's where I get like
our league is a little bit different.
You go ahead and try that auto draft in our league.
Well,
if
our
you
league
could.
Doesn't allow it.
Okay, but imagine if you could. Imagine if we designated some person to sit in a room and draft the next best player available on the list and put them up for our bid auction. You'd get smoked.
No.
You would get smoked.
But we account for might be 3% of.
Oh, I get that.
The population playing fantasy. Most people, 90-95% of the people, play in a league against their buddies. That I guarantee, if you set the auto draft, you don't have to know crap about crap.
That's not fun.
It's not fun. Our league's much better. That's what intrigued me about it and got me involved when the opportunity came up, is that it's so in-depth, and then you get hooked. First and foremost, you look at it and you're like, Jesus Christ, this is overwhelming. How am I going to do this? And then you get involved, and you're okay, now I get it. It's a full-time job sometimes.
Oh, we have one person here. That's all he does.
Well, he owns a company.
No, not that guy.
And he wasn't going there, I'll assure you. No.
Another guy who spends 6-7 hours a day on it to finish mid-table.
Wow.
I can tell you who that is.
Do we get T.O.? Is that what we got? What do we got?
He's affectionately known as Two around here, okay?
He'll spend 6-7 hours a day on it, obsessed about everything just to finish eighth.
Wow.
Two. We call him Two. So, for me...
And that's not trash talk.
Now, hang on a second. I want to talk to
sounds
you about
trashy.
Your...
Well, it kind of sounds trashy.
It is trashy. Okay, so the whole let the computer pick by numbers. But, man, I feel that's the way all the sports are going to for real. Everything's a number. I tell people all the time, they're like, anytime you get in an argument with anybody anymore about a player, they start telling me all about his stats and his underlying numbers and everything, and I'm like, does anybody look at a guy and say... Man, I think he's better than those numbers. I mean, we kind of have to, don't we? Otherwise, we could just set values and just take turns picking players, right?
You do. Now, in fantasy, you need to look at who's going to produce you the numbers in your categories to help you win those categories. And hence, win these head-to-head matchups. Right, Jimbo?
Yes.
Now, in real baseball, you also have to look at that. But you also have to make the subjective call. Is this guy going to help me win? I mean, look, I'll take you to basketball. Carmelo Anthony, great fantasy basketball player. I've heard it since the day he stepped into the league. No team with Carmelo Anthony on it is ever going to win an NBA final.
But you hear that about guys, and then it gets proved wrong. You hear that about guys, and then it gets proved wrong. Brett Hull in hockey in St. Louis, never going to win a Stanley Cup with Brett Hull.
I mean, I'm
just telling you it happened.
I never said that.
13 years ago, Carmelo Anthony was a given just because he took Syracuse as a freshman
to the championship.
And won it. And then how many high school championships did he win? I believe it was three. So, I mean, all of a sudden, yeah, he was a winner. He gets out here, maybe it's a little bit different. I don't know. Pros are different, right?
Are they?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, really?
I've never been there. I've never played it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. In this instance, when you start looking at guys, track records play a lot. As far as what somebody else values a player at, that's the biggest part for me. Like when you look at our draft and the way it's set up, I'm looking at two guys, folks, right across from me that I'll give you an example. I'm just going to pick a guy out here, okay? Let me find one that's a great example that everybody will. Here, Jose Reyes is a great example. The talented infielder for the New York Mets, who at one time in this league, my assumption would be way before my time, was probably a top pick. Why? Because he could hit, had a little bit of power, stole a ton of bases, played a prime position. Probably a top pick. Now he's older. He's an injury concern.
Yep.
You wonder what he's going to do. You wonder what his standing is. So then you start looking at projections for a guy like that because, let's face it, we don't see him every day, right? Now what I got to do is I got to decide what you think he's – it doesn't even matter what I think he's worth. I have to have an idea of what you think he's worth and what you think he's worth. That's why I find it. I do.
Do you?
I do.
Because I'm telling you, because there's in most leagues, there's a guy who's going to come into the room and turd in the toilet and turd in the punch bowl. And for a lot of and for our league, that's largely me. Because prices are relative. And it's economy of scale. There's other factors going on. Because we have one guy, in this league, Steve, who will trade picks. He will stockpile picks. And I will say, why are you stockpiling these picks? Well, so because I have the right of first refusal. I say, as soon as the price gets to a point, you don't match it, and it goes to the other person. So what's the value of that pick? Well, I don't want to overpay. Well, again, major league general managers don't want to overpay, but they do because they have to. They have to. It's just a fact of life. Right. Now, the ones who figure the equation out the best at the real level and at the fantasy level will have a lot of success. The ones who keep saying, I can't pay that, I can't pay that, I can't pay that, well, eventually, you know what? You got a whole bunch of team – you got a team made up of players you never wanted, and you're hoping to cobble something together, and it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. You have to overpay sometimes.
Yeah, except for in our league, we have a hard cap. So,
which really means that sometimes you're going to spend too much of your budget on one guy.
But what we have to tell everybody is, yes, we have a cap, but each team's cap's different based on how much money you've paid to own your franchise.
Absolutely.
That's what makes it – it would be – listen.
We play in the most ingenious fantasy league ever devised.
It would be completely different if we all had $500 to spend, but that's not how it works.
Right.
The reality of it is there's a guy that owns the most expensive franchise in the league, and I want to say – his entry fee is $2,500 for the year.
$2,500 for the
year. Okay, whereas Steve,
and he has and he has $1,100 to spend.
Yes, no,
and I
you have in, what five?
And I'm a $300 team.
I got about six.
And
this year
I got $600.
You got $600 to spend. That's you and I about have the same amount. So we can look at our evaluations, and I can think, yeah, Steve probably thinks he can spend X amount on this guy, but then again, I'll blow it up. I will. I don't care.
And then to trap it all in there, it's not a 1 year league.
No, you can
sign
a guy.
It's a contract league for 5 years.
It's the total value of the contract which wins the bid.
Right.
Whether it's 5 years, 4 years, or three.
Now there's a multiplier in there too with age, right?
It comes in, but basically it goes down to your cost per year times the number of years you're willing to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
but again, it's not. Yes, it is real money in the fact that you're paying if you're in a pay-to-play league. But, again, it's part of the basket. It's part of the basket. You know, we all go to the grocery store. Sometimes you overpay for the steak, and you try to save in other spots because that's what you want for dinner.
Well, here, I'm gonna give our listeners an idea of kind of what always has intrigued me about this. In our particular league – and this will also give you that feel of baseball versus fantasy. And it affects one of the guys in the room. That's why I want to bring it up, a trade he just made. So he called me and asked my advice, and it didn't affect me, so obviously he felt okay to ask me. He just traded for Zach Cozart, the shortstop for the Cincinnati Reds that was I think he was a high prospect at the time when he was younger. Everybody knew who Zach Cozart was. He's had some unbelievable times in the league that make you feel like, is he ever going to make that jump and become an elite shortstop? I don't know that that's happened for him, but I would say he's been a good shortstop.
He had a great first half last year, then he fell off the wagon
now,
the second half.
Because of the way people value players and how it goes, right? Somebody last year, and I was part of the draft last year, threw out Zach Cozart very, very late in the draft. Okay, it was a friend of ours that we are talking about. His partner did it after he left very late. Nobody wanted Zach Cozart, so he got him for what in this league is a minimum bid of $2 for 5 years. Zach Cozart, $2 for 5 years. Okay, Zach Cozart, now this particular owner, freaked out when he found out that his partner had drafted Zach Cozart because he thought he was a waste of time, even at $2. Okay, even at $2. Zach Cozart goes out to have, to this point, a very nice first half of the season. He didn't have such a great second half, but we're talking about $2 for an asset, right? Now, you're sitting there going, Jim, what's that really matter? Because if he wasn't any good, do you want him to line, whatever? Well, we play in a league, folks, where Brandon Crawford, is $50 a year. So it just hit me while I was looking on here that this gentleman sitting to my right just traded for Zach Cozart at $2 a year. Somebody else in our league just traded for Brandon Crawford at $50 a year. And what I noticed was that Zach Cozart is the 23rd ranked shortstop in Major League Baseball, according to Fantasy, and Brandon Crawford's the 21st ranked. So you, sir, have a $48 bargain on your hands, according to Fantasy. Now, the next question is this, and this is where we talk about reality versus fantasy. If you're going to try to win a World Series tomorrow, who do you want it short?
Overall, between these two?
Well,
I'd take Crawford.
And here's the deal. It's not even close.
Right.
So it goes to tell you what fantasy baseball is really all about.
Much like fantasy baseball, much like reality, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get in there. I'm going to talk to the guy.
Oh, you're going
to
fire him up?
I'm going to get him. He's a good locker room guy. All right, he hits in a bandbox. I'm going to pump him up. We're going to get a little extra BP in there, and I expect that he's going to tear it up this year.
Yeah.
All right.
And I got a fourth-round pick.
Here, we're going to finish this out because I have to agree with Tony. I don't know how if you have the number one pick overall in regular formats where everybody's available every year, how you don't take Mike Trout. So you said Trout.
Who's your first pitcher off the board?
Hang on a second.
Okay.
I just want to do this real quick. I actually would not have taken Trout. I'm a guy – I like to overthink it. I just think Mookie Betts is the best player in baseball, so I would take
Mookie. He has been the flavor of the month for about the past 8 months.
I just like him. So anyway.
Get off it.
Okay. So here we go. All right. Let's get real creative here. Okay. So we've all taken our first pick. Who's our second pick? Tony?
For a second pick.
By the way, Mike Trout in CBS Fantasy, number one ranked player.
I can tell you what I would do for a second pick. I would go to the middle infield, and I'd look for real offensive value in the middle of the infield.
Okay.
And flexibility. So I want someone who is qualified at shortstop and second, and maybe, because I have this guy, and he's dynamite for me, a guy like Daniel Murphy, who, because he gets played all over the infield, becomes my movable chess piece. And I can then start to play matchup. So I look for that type of guy right away after the big bona fide numbers producer.
That's a great one. I'll throw out Jose Altuve.
Absolutely.
As well as a great guy.
Middle infield, stolen bases.
Yep, stolen bases, high batting average, high on base percentage. He has a little pop in his bat, hits in a Cracker Jack box down there.
Yep.
Has some guys that can drive him in behind him. Got a real good team down there in Houston, really making strides. Mm-hmm. So I like that guy.
Okay. I like the Colorado flavor, so I'm going to go Arenado. Only because of the Colorado flavor. CBS ranks number 2 overall, Altuve. Tony, interesting pick, as I also am a Daniel Murphy believer. I was a non-believer.
Mm-hmm.
I am now a believer.
He's an ugly
hitter,
though.
Surprisingly, 21st ranked player in the league, which wonder the flexibility if
now,
they take
think
that
about
into
it,
account. You're right.
That's why I say, because in a 16-team league, by the time my second pick comes around – if I can get the number 21 guy in the league overall and he has that degree of flexibility, that's why Daniel Murphy's my type of guy. That's why when I had the trade offered to me to bring him onto my team, I took it. That's why I am willing to perhaps overpay for Daniel Murphy. Other people, you can't pay that much for him. The hell I can't. Sure I can.
What'd you get him for?
I don't know.
It's not a bad contract.
Here's the thing, Steve. I rarely look at my salaries because you know what they are? They're sunk cost. Once I've agreed to it, it's done. And I don't even look. Because I know other people will look and be like, okay, I paid $60 for this guy. I got to put him in the lineup. No, you don't. Sunk cost. Already done.
Okay, next question. This will be an interesting one before we go. Who's your first pitcher you're taking? Tony?
Well, I pled for Alex Reyes last year because I really thought he could win 15-plus as a rookie. I saw him pitch in San Francisco. And not that the Giants are the most offensively gifted team, but it was only his fifth or sixth major league.
It was a huge situation is what it was really unbelievable about it.
It was only his fifth or sixth major league start, and he had these guys befuddled. And it wasn't because it was their first look. It was stuff. It was stuff. And as I sat and watched him keep everyone off stride, I'm like, well, he's got that fastball and that off stride ability. Boy, this is a guy in fantasy I would go after immediately and think, yeah, I want this guy for 5 years. I'm going to project him to win 15 games for all 5 years. I did this with Lance Lynn too. And he did just about what I thought he would. He'd be about 15-10 every year. Until he gets hurt, and then they get hurt, and they have an off year.
See what I'm saying about him? I mean, everybody and their brother right now is listening to us going, Tony, come on. Clayton Kershaw, bud, come on. But, but my point is, see where he comes up with these guys?
Right.
What about you?
And obviously Kershaw's, if you can get him, okay. And I've had him.
Well, and the reason I bring him up is because, how long – now, the greats are greats, and maybe he is going to be a great. He did have a back issue. How long can these pitchers realistically continue dominance? It just doesn't seem like it lasts.
In this day and age?
If you get 5 years. Well, if you get 5 or 6 or 7, that's pretty good.
It's a bell curve now.
Yeah.
Okay, when you look at the statistical curve of a Bob Gibson, Don Drysdale career, it looks nothing like today's pitcher. Today's pitcher is a sharp bell curve. A little above mediocre, a little above mediocre, Cy Young, and then back down the other side.
Like, I'll give you the flavor.
So try to ride the up wave, and that's what I try to do. That's why I would value a Reyes. That's why I went after Sonny Gray, Garrett Cole, college pitchers who I had seen pitch. Not that I know anything about really breaking them down or oh, this guy's got great. I don't know any of that. I don't. But I just know, hey, if you can get results at certain levels, and as you progress through the minors, and you can continue to get results, I can project your results in the major leagues with a fairly decent degree of accuracy.
You know the guy that's on here that it doesn't – I mean, he pitched on the biggest stage and did well is Corey Kluber is that high. I think he's a good pitcher. Man, he's ranked awful high. The number 4 starting pitcher in baseball, Corey Kluber.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Scherzer in there.
Okay.
Top 5.
Kershaw 1.
Uh huh.
Number 2. If you were going to rank him, Tony, number 2 pitcher, you've got him. Scherzer.
Steve-O. Yeah.
And who do you think number 3 is?
Do you go with Sale or Syndergaard?
No. Guy, forget about him a little bit. And it's interesting.
Chris Sale?
No.
No, you just said that, right?
No. This guy, surprisingly, we have conversations around the office. Like it's going out of style. I don't ever hear this guy's name mentioned, but all he's done's been dominant.
Archer?
Nope.
Oh, you got
Madison Bumgarner.
Oh yeah, Madison.
Well, I had him. Okay. But I rode the up wave.
Yeah. Wow.
I had him on my team.
I'd like to have him, and I hope he continues an up wave.
Then you got Kluber. Yep. And then who rounds out your top 5?
Chris Sale.
Okay.
It's interesting that in a fantasy league like this, when you start talking about all this talent that's available, I mean you get that top 5 out of the way, and then you sit there and think, man, I'd like to have just one of these bottom 5. The bottom 5 being Verlander, Lester, Syndergaard, Arrieta. I mean, it's like, holy cow. And then I'll even take one of the next 5. David Price, Johnny Cueto, Yu Darvish, Steven Strasburg.
Well, you did take one of the next 5.
Well, yeah, but I also took a lot of trouble from you and on a one-year deal at $63 from Cueto.
But again, you're sitting there, Jim, thinking about that $63 somehow affecting the mix of your team.
Well, a different situation for me.
But you've paid it now.
Yeah, no, I have.
It's done paid.
Right.
So any decision that you make about Cueto with that price tag in the back of your mind – is wrong. Don't do that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. Number one, we do 5-year contracts. He's on the last year of his contract. And you and I, the reason I gave up what I gave up and was willing to take salary from you that I cut and ultimately paid out of my pocket was because, and this is what's interesting, folks, and we'll talk more and more about how our league works, but talking about one of the pitchers that's ranked pretty high here is I have, according to this list, okay, I have the youngest stud on this list, and that's Noah Syndergaard. Noah Syndergaard is what we would call coming into his second year of his restricted free agency,
yeah,
which means next year he is up for bidding, but I own his right, so I can match any offer that comes in from
him. That's right.
My anticipation is that he's going to come in really high.
Yeah.
So I went out this year and got two players that I felt like when them coming off my books next year would cover his salary.
There you go.
That was why I was willing to. So there's a lot that goes into it. I would encourage you.
I would call that fairly smart
that's
management.
Right. Now, what I would do is consider everybody out there, if you really love the game of baseball like we do, take a look at some fantasy options. I know there's some great things out there that you can do it solo. Look at some different leagues. What I will say is it's an opportunity, especially whether it be a younger person or a person that's getting older like we are, to still enjoy the game of baseball, not just get so fixated on your favorite team.
Can I tell you one thing I will really help?
Sure.
Even an established person, when you're looking at the stats, there's all sorts – we know this. There's all sorts of different types of 300 hitters. There's a 300 hitter that goes 5-for-5 one day and then 0-for-4 and 0-for-4. There's also the guy, the Wade Boggs type, that is 2-for-5, 2-for-6 almost every night. Okay? If you look for the consistent guys, so if you throw a dart at their schedule and when whatever date you land on, it should be a two-hit night, that's your guy. That's why I think Altuve, I wanted to build a case for Altuve being ahead of Trout, I might be able to build it for that because I know on a week-to-week basis, I should not catch him on a week where he pulls a 1-for-28.
Pretty consistent guy.
Yeah.
It's all interesting. What I would suggest is, again, if you love the game, check it out. There's got to be somebody you know with the numbers being what they are involved in fantasy baseball. And we'll talk more about it as the year comes. I'm assuming by next week, show. We'll have everybody in camp. We'll hopefully have some interesting stories coming out of camps. There's a lot of jobs up for bid and just the game of baseball being back. Hopefully the weather stays the same.
Can I talk about the people who overreact to spring training records?
You want
to
do that next week?
Oh, just as a 5-minute thing.
Let's do it next week. Let's talk about that. I got some other things I want to hit you for next week on because I think
I keep my own spring training record.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What do you do with it?
Well, you ever go down to spring training, they say, well, how'd the club do? And honest to God, Steve, I have no idea. I'll be like, I went to 6 games. But my evaluation is when the manager takes the starters out, whoever's winning at that point, that's who won the game. Well, everything else is just something like a practice game for the B team.
I'm more of the ilk of how does spring training go? Well, let's see how we did on the injury front. And right now, the Cardinals are in a big hole.
Are we healthy?
Let me see. Mine is, how did spring training go? Well, the sun was hot. The beer was cold.
And back home where my friends were, it was snowing and cold.
And I kick back and relax, and there's nothing better than a spring training game, a college game, or like a minor league game.
We'll talk about this because I know how to do spring training so well right now. If you want, we see 2 games a day in Florida.
All right. Well, that's a plan.
I got to travel.
I just don't like
travel.
Hey, I just don't like sitting down there between 2 fat, sweaty guys in a little Cracker Jack box, you know, paying $10 for a beer.
God bless the Miami Hurricanes, Florida Gators, Central Florida Knights, and Florida Atlantic and Florida International.
Let me tell you something. If you have not done spring training before and you love baseball, it's something you have to do once. I had a great time, and I fully intend on doing it again. Hey, for the Bleacher Bums, I'm Jimbo. That's Steve. Tony, appreciate
you
so much.
Thank you, my man.
Producer Andrew. Short show this week. Before we get into the season, like I said, we'll do some quick hit stuff as shows come about based on what's going on down in Florida or out in Arizona. We may hit you guys with some. But really enjoy the content. Gentlemen, I look forward. It's going to be a great baseball season.
I hope so.
Hey, just let me leave you with this. We're all entering. Everybody on this planet is entering the first baseball season where the Chicago Cubs are the reigning world champions.
Oh, my God. I can hardly take it. Our Chicago fans are loving it, though.
Aren't they?
Hey, but everybody else is our friend. In honor of Fish not being here, what does he always say this time of year? Everybody's
tied
for first. This is the Bleacher Bums. We'll see you next week.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci. excite better thinking.
You need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.